some good friendships. So without any further ado, I do want to introduce to you Dr. Jim Moy to come and share God's word with us today. Jim, please come.
Don't mind, I'm going to sit down. The doctor says I have something called an unsteady gait. And I think that means that when I stand up for a while, my gait gets unsteady. And so if I sit down, I don't think that'll happen. The verse that I want to bring to you, first of all, let me say something about my brain surgery, because I know that's on your minds. And a lot of you just go right after it. Jim, tell us about the brain surgery. Others of you are a little more cautious when you say something, but just go straight for it, because I don't mind talking about it. I was at the soccer game a couple of days ago, and a woman said, "What happened to your head?" I said, "Woman, I don't know. Last time I saw you, you didn't have that on your head." I said, "I had brain surgery." She said, "Uh-uh." I said, "Yes, I did. I had brain surgery." And then she said, "Those chairs you're sitting in, where'd you get those chairs?" Kids ask me all the time, because I went to school Friday to have lunch with my boys, and the kids are, you know, "What's on the top of your head? What'd you do? What's going on?" And I just say, "Brain surgery. I just had brain surgery." "Oh." And they usually back away. Sometimes they ask more questions, but you can tell I enjoy it. Anyway, we're doing good. We had an appointment Friday to check with Fran because my days are mixed up. So Friday with the doctor. What's that? So Tuesday was the latest, right? And the doctor said it was a good appointment. We're going to work with Duke and Emory together. There's a doctor at Duke who does some alternative kinds of things. And so he's going to kind of guide Emory in this sort of alternative, sort of traditional methodology. I start radiation on Monday. I do that for 5 days straight, and then I do that again for 5 days straight, and again for 5 days straight, and that goes for 6 weeks. And apparently they have some sort of technology that they can just zap the tumor exactly and not my whole brain, which I'm glad about. Fran probably wants the whole brain zapped. But so anyway, that's what we'll start on Monday. And then at the end of that time, we'll go to the Duke doctor and he'll work with us, some sort of intravenous thing. Whatever's working, we go with. Whatever's not working, we don't go with. And so we're pretty excited about the future. The doctor did say that my brain tumor is incurable. And we're fine with that, because we know that the Lord is in control, and we know that He'll do what He wants to do, and I'm sure I'm not done yet. I'm sure there's more for me to do. There's more for God to do. He doesn't need me, but there's more for me to do, too, and I believe that. So we're still going strong. When He says incurable, that means that complete cure. He does believe that we can back it off, you know, through the radiation and other procedures, just hold it back, hold it back, hold it back for years. But for me, I'd like a cure. So we're praying for a healing, complete healing on it. And one of the things that James tells us, when you're sick, have the elders of the church anoint you with oil and pray for you. And so we want the elders of the church to do that if you know who you are. Some churches, it's very clear who the elders are because they anoint them as elders and they have a class. I know PCA Church does that. I don't think we're as clear about that, but we know who the elders are. So after this is over, if I could come down front and some of you could come pray for me, I would appreciate that. And if you've got oil, I don't care what kind of oil it is. It doesn't matter to me. It can be kitchen oil. That's fine. Then I'd like to be anointed with oil and for you to pray for me. I don't think there's any other news on that. Anyway, we're doing really well. One more thing that has come up. Some of you have heard that Saturday, well, for the first 2 weeks that I had this, first 15 days that coming out of surgery, I had a horrible case. You're going to laugh, but I'm telling you, it's a horrible case of the hiccups. I could not stop hiccuping 24/7, kept me awake at night, just constant. And it was so bad that it was distracting me and others around me. It was just terrible. Even the doctor, we were trying to have an appointment with him, and I was hiccuping, and he got so concerned about it that he got up and called the other doctor during the middle of it. He said, we just got to stop a second. Called the other doctor. Said, do you know how bad his hiccups are? They had some sort of conversation about my hiccups. Then put me back on the medication that was causing the hiccups because they said I needed it. Well, that was on a Friday, a week ago. And I had a wedding I was doing that weekend at Northside Methodist Church in Atlanta. And I was going Friday night for the rehearsal, Saturday night for the wedding. And I knew I couldn't do the wedding with the hiccups. It just would not work. So, because the microphone's pretty close. So, Fran and I were driving to the wedding, and we were praying all the way, just praying. God, take these hiccups. Please take these hiccups. All the way. I'm hiccuping all the way. I rolled down the window to try to get some air. I think I might even throw up out the window. I'm sorry. But they're so bad. We arrive at 6 o'clock. The wedding's at 6 o'clock. I don't normally arrive at 6 o'clock weddings at 6 o'clock, but we did this time. It's part of my condition. Very slow. So we got there at 6 o'clock. I got out of the car hiccuping. I walked into the wedding. The pastor was there. The other pastor was working with me. He said, Jim, why don't you go on up front, wait for me and the guys. We'll come up around with you, and we'll meet you down there in just about a minute. So I said, okay. So I walked down there. When I got down there, I don't know when it happened, but my hiccups went away. They were gone. Sometime between getting out of the car and the wedding starting, they were gone completely. Did the wedding, no hiccups. After the wedding, we were trying to decide whether to go to the reception or not. And we were just sitting on the pews talking with some friends. We decided to go. So we went to the reception and we had a good time with our friends. We decided it was time to go. I said to Fran, why don't we just walk out on the balcony just for a second? It's a beautiful place. So we walked out on the balcony. We were standing on the balcony just looking over the scenery. And a man walked up to me and he said, haven't I done a wedding with you recently? And I said, I don't know. He said, you know Robin's wedding. We did Robin's wedding together. And I said, yes, I do remember that. He said, can I just tell you something? I said, sure. He said, well, I'm Catholic background. But I was in a meeting one time. And this guy was charismatic, and he was up front, and he was praying for people to be healed. And I didn't believe a thing that was going on. And I, about halfway through, just looked at my wife, and we said, we got to get out of here. So we got up and left. On the way out, one of my friends stopped me and said, you need to go down there and get that guy to pray for you and your future. And he said, why? And the guy said, I just think you should. So they kept going. Another friend stopped him, second one, said, you got to go down there and get that guy to pray for you. He said, no. Headed to the door, got right to the door. Third guy, third friend stopped him, said, you got to go down there and get that guy to pray for you. He said, okay, three times. Trinity, I believe in that. So he said, all right, I'll do it. So he went down front to get the guy to pray for him. The guy prayed for him and his wife, and then prayed for his future healing ministry. And he said, I don't have a future healing ministry. And the guy said, yes, you do. I feel the Lord just told me you have a healing ministry in your future. And I'm going to pray for it right now. Then his wife, the charismatic guy's wife, said, should we charge them? And his wife turned around to him and said, honey, I didn't bring my checkbook. That's all they knew. And he said, I don't think they mean charge us money. I think they mean charge us for our healing ministry. So they prayed for him for his healing ministry. He said, since then, and he told us the stories, which I won't tell you all of them, but he said several stories of cancer patients that he had prayed for that were healed. So I wasn't sure how Fran was handling it, so I didn't say anything. And she wasn't sure what I wanted to do, so she didn't say anything, and so we let the guy go. As he was leaving, Fran said, Jim, do you want him to pray for you? I said, I would love him to pray for me. So we went and got him. He said, let me get my wife. She wants to pray for you too. So he went upstairs, got his wife, brought her down. We went and found a corner where nobody was. They ministered to us and prayed for us for about 40 minutes. And we were so encouraged when it was over. During that time, the wife said, I have a question for you. I said, what? She said, have you been to Africa? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't know why I feel this way, but I just feel like that when you were in Africa, somebody prayed for you that should not have prayed for you. Somebody that pretending to be Christian was not. And they prayed for you. And while they prayed for you, they actually were praying that God, that Satan would send tentacles down into your brains. And she said, I think that may be where this came from. I don't know. And the man said, well, let's pray for him right now. So he prayed for us, and she did too. And we've told that story to our Sunday school class, and some people from our Sunday school class have asked us, they said, do you really think that's possible that somebody in Africa could pray for you and send tentacles down in your brains? That just doesn't seem like something God would allow to happen. And everybody that's asked me that, I've told them, absolutely do believe it's possible. Come with me to Africa and walk with me and see what I see, and you'll believe it too. Now all of you are thinking about going with me to Africa, you're backing off. We'll be more cautious about who we let to pray for us. And I don't know if that happened. I just believe it's possible. See, we're in a battle. We're not in a soccer game. We're in a battle. We're in the battle for the universe. We're in the battle for the souls of men and women, for people's lives. And God is well aware of the battle. He's been in it from the beginning. And He wants every single person to come to know Him and love Him and be loved by Him. But there are a lot of forces out there, dark forces out there, that are trying to keep us from that. And those dark forces are real and evil and powerful. And yes, it's a battle. Does it bother me that that happened? Well, of course it bothers me because I have a brain tumor. If it's true, then that's how it happened. Does it bother me that God allowed that to happen? Not at all. If He did, not at all. Because I know I'm in the battle with Him. And I knew when I got into the business I got into that it would be a battle. I knew it would be a battle for me, for my wife, for my children, for their wives, for their children. We're just in a battle. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. He is more powerful, more loving, more caring, more honest. And He will win the battle. The truth is, the battle has already been won. It was won on the cross. Checkmate was on the cross. For those that know check. We're just still playing out the moves. And on the cross, checkmate happened. It was done, finished, over. We just still have more moves to make. So I don't know if that answers your question about that. And from our standpoint, that's the way we look at it, that it doesn't bother us that we're in the battle. We know we're in the battle, and we're prepared for the battle. We're prepared to take some hits, if that's what it takes. Because people are worth it. People matter to God. And they're worth getting in the fight to fight for them. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, after saying that you are the light of the world, a light does not hide under a basket, but it sits on its lampstand and lights the whole house. And you are that light. After he said that, he said this verse, Matthew 5:16. Let your good deeds shine. You see the verse up on the... I'm reading a different version, but it's the same. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men that they may receive your track and hear your four spiritual laws. That's not what he said. He said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen to this version. It's another version of the same verse. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Let your good deeds shine out before men. And women. That everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Why will they praise your Heavenly Father? Because they see what? Your mouth speaking, or your good deeds? Because they see your good deeds. And they say, those people are good. They do good deeds. We have a group in Ghana. We went and spoke at... by the way, Fent, why don't you stand up and just say hello to everybody. Turn around. Fent's here, and his wife, Gay, is here somewhere. Okay, there she is. Can you stand up, Gay? Fent and Gay are on our team. Fent is Fran's brother, and he joined our team about a year and a half ago, he and Gay. And he runs the Africa ministry now. I'm supposed to go to Africa October 1st. But I start radiation Monday, so I can't go. So Fent's going instead. He runs the Africa ministry anyway, and he's going during my time when I was supposed to go. When we were in Africa, we did a conference up in a place called Saboba, northern Ghana. And the young leaders that we worked with were very responsive. That's what we do. We equip young leaders. We don't start churches. They do. We don't start orphanages. They do. We just equip them. And we were up there equipping these young leaders, about 30 of them. That was in April of 2002. I left there. I haven't been back up to Saboba. But we took two of the guys from there to be coaches. They're our coaches. We work with two of the guys on a regular basis. They come to our facility and we train them and equip them and bring them resources. They're a part of the seven coaches that we have over there. And they've been up there working with the other 28. which is part of the genius of what we do. I haven't been back. But they live there. Isn't that great? I'm not trying to praise our name. I'm just saying it's a great strategy. It was Jesus' strategy. It's exactly what he did. He equipped 12 guys and some women. He said, okay, I'm leaving. You take it from here. And that's why we're here today. Way across the ocean. ...28, and they've been meeting with them every week, going over the material, just talking about what it means to be a disciple, love evangelism, listening to God. And not long ago, a few months ago, they were in their meeting. They said, look, we're supposed to be doing love evangelism. I might have mentioned this in my last sermon, did I? Anyway, it still works. Stop it there. So they said, we need to go out and do something for the village to let them know that we love them. So they went out and they, one night, and they cleaned up the village. Just cleaned up the whole village. No other reason except that they love the people in the village. They didn't leave tracks. They didn't knock on doors. They just cleaned up the village. The next morning, everybody woke up, went out to market, and the village was clean. Who cleaned the village? I don't know. That's the cleanest I ever remembered. Who cleaned the village? I think it was the Christian young people that meet every week. Why'd they do it? They said they do it because they love us. The Muslims in the village found out about it. And they said, if this is the way Christians act, we need to be more like Christians. Isn't that great? If this is the way Christians act, we need to be more like Christians. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Look at the verse up there now. You guys are great. Maybe people aren't coming to Jesus because maybe we're hiding out in our little club. We come listen to our children's programs, and we come do our women's programs and men's programs and youth programs, and we do our church, and maybe we ignore them. Maybe we even say things like, ooh, don't hang out with those people because a lamp does not hide under a basket. It sits on the table and shines out so for the whole world to see. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. When I was here before, and I preached before, and I mentioned the barbecue, which has become a big thing, understandably, I'm going to be honest with you, when I said it, I never thought you would do it. I was kind of putting it out there just so you'd kind of hit halfway in between somewhere. I never thought you would do it. It's very complicated what you've chosen to do and how you do it and the details of it. But I praise my Heavenly Father that you've chosen to do it. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. For those that don't know, we have a barbecue that we do every year, and it raises money for the church. It's a key fundraiser, I think. Is it not? Is it? Isn't it? Maybe the number one fundraiser or one of the top fundraisers. And I mentioned in my last sermon that Maybe one day we could do the barbecue for free for the community just to tell them we love them. Never expect anybody to take me up on that. And they did. And we're doing it. And there's a lot of confusion about how it works and who you give the tickets to and who you don't. And what if somebody shows up and says, I'd like 1,000 barbecue plates? Dottie was in our Sunday school class, and I asked her, I said, if somebody shows up and they say, can I give a donation, what is the response going to be? And my answer was, tell them no. We won't take a donation. You can come to church on Sunday morning. We do donations at church on Sunday morning. We won't take a donation here. This barbecue is for you because we love you. That's why we're doing it. We don't want a donation. We're doing this because we're happy to be here in this community. We thank you for letting us be here in this community. We care about you, and that's why we're doing it. No donation accepted. You know why? Because if you look at the church through non-Christian eyes, you know what they think? They think the church is about money. We're in the church. We think that's funny because we know we're not about money. But they see it that way. They see us that we're about money. That's what we're about. That's our main purpose for existence, is to collect money. And they see that because they have an offering every time they come. We, on TV, they're always taking up offerings. The popular media says that we're about money, some form or another. And so they believe that. You can say they shouldn't believe that because it's not true, but they do believe that. They do believe that we're here for money. We're always doing fundraisers. We never do anything else just to love them. We just do fundraisers. So what if we did a free barbecue? No donations accepted. I said, we're doing this because we love you. That's why. Because we care about you. I don't know if you can work out all the details. It's tough. Think through all the details. I just praise my Heavenly Father that you've done it. And I'm asking Him every day to help you do it. And for me, I was going to be in Ghana during the barbecue. But now I'm not. Now I'm going to be here. And if you remember, I said that I would stay through the whole barbecue if you would do this. And I don't know if I can with my brain tumor or not. I'm going to try to stay through the whole thing. Because I told you I would. I said that Bill and Alan would too, but that's not fair because I had not checked with them. They have to make their own decision. The same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. How have we gotten so far from that verse? Do we ever do good deeds for people? As a church? I'm sure we do as individuals, but do we do it as a church? We're Old Camp Church. We're here to do good deeds for you because we love you and we thank you for letting us be in your community. Maybe that confused you more. Maybe it straightened out some things. I don't know. But I know those of you that have been a member of this, members of this church for a long time. It's probably very difficult for you to do this. And I thank you for agreeing to do this. And I believe God will bless us beyond any measure because we did it. Because you stepped out on faith and said, don't know how it can happen, but we're doing it. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are a good deed God. That you walked around healing people, loving on children, delivering people from physical needs as well as spiritual needs. That you did it all. And I thank you that that's our job as well. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you'll guide us through this barbecue thing, which was probably crazy, but we just want to be crazy for you. And if we can be crazy for you, you'll be crazy for us. So we're asking you to do that. Please be crazy for us. In Jesus' name, amen.